So last week we looked at that story in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, about the man at the beautiful gate of the temple. And he asked Peter and John for money, and remember they said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." They said that it was by the power of the risen Lord Jesus. And Jesus had just raised from the dead 7 weeks or so earlier. And he'd died and he'd been raised from the dead. It was by his power that they were able to heal this man. And he did, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. But this got Peter and John, instead of everyone being really impressed and, "Wow, that's amazing," this got Peter and John into trouble with the religious leaders. This is what we read. This is Acts chapter 4. This is just after this has happened. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, who has become the capstone, or the keystone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." The stone the builders rejected. Can you imagine that you want to build a bridge? You order some bricks from the merchants, and they all seem good, but when you arrive, you've got your cement mixer going, you're about to start building, when you notice that you come across this one brick that is just a different shape to all the others. And you think, "Well, that's not going to fit, is it?" So you just throw it to one side. However, when you start building, you get to the crucial point of making your bridge, making the arch hold together, and you find that you needed actually just that shape of brick that you have thrown away. That's how the religious leaders had treated Jesus. He didn't seem to fit with their plans, and so they'd rejected him. They'd put him to death. And just as many people today don't like Jesus's shape. Lots of people don't like Jesus's shape because he doesn't seem to fit in with their lives. And so they throw him away. They reject him. Indeed, the Bible tells us at some point or other we've all done that. We've all tried to get rid of Jesus because he's too awkward for our lives. But, says Peter, this stone was actually the capstone, the keystone. We've got to understand something about what this capstone, this keystone is. I wonder if you know how to build an arch bridge. You know, the Romans in particular did a lot of this. That's not a Roman bridge. That's a bridge somewhere in the United States, I think. It's very interesting how they did it. And so interesting, we thought as a family we'd go and investigate further. So we thought, where should we go and investigate all about bridges? The arch bridge in particular, we thought, well, where better to go than to the Reading Museum? So we took a trip out to the Reading Museum, and let's see what we found. Have a look at this.
Hello, and here we are at Reading Museum, and today we're exploring keystone arches. So these are the pieces, and if we take the edge pieces, put them together like this, you can see that when we let go, the arch collapses. However, if we take the keystone piece and put it in the middle, when we let go, the arch stays standing. And the more force you put on the arch, the stronger it gets as the force pushes the bricks together.
So there we have. That was in the vaults of Reading Museum. That was, we went to where people aren't usually allowed. We went into the box room. That's special. There we go. And we discovered this arch there, and that's what we found out. Now you know about the keystone. That stone there in the middle, the keystone or the capstone, which is the piece that holds the whole arch together. Have you, hands up if you've made an arch like that. Have you done that at school or at trips? You have. Sometimes they have them at discovery centres, don't you? It's a special shape. And only that shape will do to hold that bridge together. Let's go back to this picture of the bridge. Would somebody like to come out? See this here? You can point with this. Look. Somebody like to come out and use my special pointer to point at where the keystone is here. Who would like to do that? Come on then. There we go. Daniel, you have a point. Can you, if you press the red button, that's right. Can you see the red? Oh, yeah. Where is the keystone? Not quite. Just along a bit. A bit. Left of it. Left of it. Down of it. Do you see at the top of the arch? You see, try here, look, down, 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 there. That's it. Excellent. Well done, Daniel. That's the keystone there. You see the shape of it? And you see how it's just the right shape to hold that together. And it's amazing. If you get it right, you don't even need cement or whatever to hold it together, mortar to hold it together. It will just be held together by the forces pushing in the right direction. You know, that's a wonderful picture of Jesus, isn't it? It really is. At one level, he just looks like a brick, normal brick, all the other stones. If you look closely, you'll see he's different. But that's not the reason to reject him. It's the reason to build your life on him, because he will hold your life together. Look at what Peter says. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Salvation. What does it mean? What does salvation mean? Well, it means rescue, doesn't it? To be saved, that's where salvation comes from. To be saved means to be rescued. There is no other name, no other person, no other man or woman or boy or girl other than Jesus by which we can be saved. We've said that a lot already this morning. You know, there are many, many people in the world for whom that is an outrageous statement. They see it as arrogant. They see it as outrageous. They see it as narrow and intolerant, and so dismissive of whatever everybody else might believe. And it is an outrageous statement. How can we possibly claim that Jesus is the only way? There must be a good reason for it if we're going to claim it, mustn't there? One common objection people have to Christianity, to following Jesus Christ, is that they say Christians are so intolerant of other religions. Why do they insist that Jesus is the only way to be saved? Well, we say, well, for a start, we say it because it's in God's word, the Bible. It's exactly what Peter says here, isn't it? But we say it, too, because it makes total sense. It makes sense because there is only one person who is the exact right shape to be the keystone to hold it all together, and that is Jesus. How is Jesus different from anybody else, any other religious leader, any other leader of any kind? Well, for a start, he's from a different place to any other religious leader. Indeed, to anyone altogether. If you look back into chapter 3, remember we looked at this on Easter Day. This is what Peter said then. You disowned the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. It's talking about Jesus, the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. He is the holy and righteous one. He's the author of life. He comes from above. Sorry, it wasn't Easter Day. That was last week, was it? Oh, boy, sorry, I'm getting confused. It was last week. The author of life. He dreamed up life. He thought like an author who writes a story. He had it all in his imagination. Then he wrote it all into being. He comes from above. He's not just another human being. He's God's son. He's the word of God. He's the author of life. And God has sent him to us. That's the first reason why he's different. Secondly, although he is different, he is also the same, because he's made of the same things as we are. He's a human being. He's God, but he's also a human being. Being the same as us, this is the thing. This is why he's a unique shape. There's no one else like the shape that he is. Because he's different to us, he's from above, he's God. And at the same time, he's the same as us, he's a human being. He can bridge the gap between us and God. You know, there's a gap between us and God caused by our rebellion, our selfishness, our sinfulness, our sin. And God, a holy God, cannot live with us. And so there's a huge gap between us and God. And we need somebody to come and bridge that gap. And we need that bridge to be firmly anchored on that side and on that side. To be anchored on God's side and on human side. And only Jesus can do that, because he is both God and human. He is the bridge that goes across between us. He has bridged the gulf between humans and God. He enables us to cross that gulf. And only Jesus can do that. Thirdly, look at what has just happened. Remember, it is by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. He's been raised from the dead. That's an astonishing thing to say, isn't it? Peter speaking 7 or 8 weeks after Jesus had died on the cross. They'd all seen him buried in the tomb. How ridiculous. Dead men don't come to life, do they? But if Peter was talking nonsense just 7 or 8 weeks after this has happened, it would have been very easy for him to have been shown to have been talking nonsense, wouldn't it? Don't want to get gruesome, but all they would have had to do, these religious leaders, would have been to go to the tomb and produce the body. Why didn't they do that? Because they couldn't do that. Because it wasn't there. Because Jesus was not in the tomb. He'd raised to life, and over 500 people had seen him. And they couldn't discredit that. They couldn't say, no, that's ridiculous. They couldn't say, that's stop, you know. They couldn't disprove it. They couldn't quash it. They could have quashed it once for all and stopped this annoying little group, annoying them, threatening their authority, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't squash the rumor, and nobody has ever been able to squash that rumor since. 2,000 years. God raised him from the dead. Now here's the thing. Who can rescue us from the dead? Who can rescue us from death? Well, surely only one person can rescue us from death, and that is the one person who has demonstrably beaten death, isn't it? Jesus. Jesus has gone through death and come back, come out the other side. And he's shown us that death has no hold on him, and that's why when we put our trust in him, we can be sure that death will not have hold on us either. That is the way it is. That's why Jesus is unique. That's why he is the only one who can save us. And so, boys and girls, grown-ups, I say this in all sincerity. If you can find somebody else, who is that shape, who can save us, who has come from above, who can represent both sides of the divide, and who has demonstrably beaten death, then you go and follow them. I might be tempted to follow them too if you can find such a person. But I can't find such a person. I'm sticking with Jesus. This is what one man said. This was a man who was became a Christian in Africa. He was a Muslim following the Islamic religion, and he became a Christian. And some of his friends asked him, well, why? Why have you become a Christian? Why aren't you no longer following the Prophet Muhammad? And he answered, well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down a road and suddenly the road forked in two directions and you didn't know which way to go. And there at the fork in the road were two men. But one of those men was dead and one of those men was alive. Which one would you ask which way to go? Well, you'd ask the live one, wouldn't you? So when you're thinking which way to go with your life, how about asking the one who's gone through death and come out the other side, who is alive, Jesus? And no one else has done that. No other name. No other name. You know, it's an interesting thing about a Keystone Arch. Don't know if you know this. Don't want to get too technical here, because I'll soon get out of my depth. But the interesting thing is, actually, if you just put up the arch, it's not that arch in itself. The arch is not, it can be a bit wimbly-wambly. If you start loading things on top of the arch, it actually puts more strength into the arch. It makes it stronger when you load things on top. It because it's the force working down, pushing down through the keystone and out through the arches that holds the arch together. That's very interesting, isn't it? I'm sure there's a limit. There's always a limit, isn't there, on what you can put on a bridge. But the more weight you put above the arch to a point, the stronger the arch gets. Jesus, our keystone, can take our weight. He really can. I don't know what weight you are feeling in your life. I don't know what strain you are experiencing in your life. You may feel it's going to break you. Jesus can take your weight. Turn it to him in prayer. Give it to him in prayer. Trust him for your future. And that can be transferred to him to hold the weight, the strain. It really can. Because he is just the right shape to do that. He can bear you up. Just like he was doing to Peter and John. You know, they were there. They were in trouble with the authorities. These men who'd been so scared and frightened when Jesus was taken and crucified. Peter, who denied Jesus, hadn't he? He said, I don't know him. Three times he said that. And now here he was being so bold that we see in the next verse, when the leaders saw the courage of Peter and John, realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That's lovely, isn't it? Jesus was bearing them up. He was giving them courage, even though a little later they would find themselves in prison. So they were astonished. Knowing Jesus had made a real difference to them. Knowing the resurrected Lord Jesus with us in our lives makes a difference to us too. Let's lean with all our weight on him. Let's follow him. He is the only keystone. Let's not reject him like many people do because he's too limiting and he narrows down my life choices and he spoils my fun and he stops me doing what I want. Look how foolish that is, because we'd be throwing away the most valuable person of all. The stone the builders rejected. What a mistake to make. You know, our hearts go out to one man this morning, don't they, in particular? I'm sorry if this is a painful sight for you. Poor Adam Federici. What a time. We all make mistakes, don't we? But what a time to do it. What a time there in Wembley in the semi-final of the FA Cup in extra time. Oh, poor guy. Now, you know, he's a good goalie, isn't he? He's a good goalie. He'll recover from that, may make him stronger in some ways. He'll never forget it. And that can never be taken away, can it? He can't ever erase that. He can't go back in time and make Reading qualify for the FA Cup final in 2015. Praise God that because of his grace and his mercy, that mistake of rejecting the keystone, rejecting Jesus, that can be erased. That can be wiped out. Peter himself, who denied the Lord, he'd known the Lord's forgiveness. And now here he was boldly proclaiming that he knew the risen Lord Jesus, even though it meant prison. If up until now you have been rejecting Jesus, our keystone, starting right now, that mistake can be wiped out once and for all as you turn around and as you come to him in faith and as you admit your mistake, your sin, and as you accept his forgiveness and as you start following Jesus, the Lord of life. Don't dismiss him any longer because he doesn't fit into your life. Instead, fit your life around him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We recognize that we're foolish. We often miss what you are doing. Just as these people missed the significance of Jesus, they didn't see his true shape. They rejected him. We praise you that in the way that you work gloriously, even their rejection of him was your way of bringing our salvation, because it was through his death and resurrection that we can be saved. Father, I pray that you'll give us conviction about Jesus as the one way. That comes under attack in all sorts of ways. Help us to stand firm on that. And that anyone here, if they have up to this point rejected Jesus, I pray you'll open their eyes and let them see him for who he truly is. In Jesus' name.